Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that you have joined with me on this broadcast of a midday message entitled Spies Among Us. Spies Among Us. That is the message of this midday broadcast today, and I tell you, we're going to be coming from the book of Galatians. Well, we're going to understand why Paul alluded to spies being among the body of Christ. There's some information in there that we need to be aware of as believers so that we can know that we are free and to walk, to live in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. And we want to go through those scriptures with you. So thank all of you for tuning in. But before we do, let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for this glorious opportunity to come before your presence with the listening audience. God, we ask that you would guide us by the Holy Spirit to get into your word, to have understanding, open up our hearts to receive the living and grafted word, whereby our Lord is able to save our souls, to deliver us, to keep us free, to walk, Lord God, in the light of your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are coming together via this broad talk radio show, Lord, to bring forth the light of the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want you to be glorified, Lord, in everything that we do, that those that hear may hear the word of the Lord and understand the mysteries of the grace that is revealed through the scriptures. Bless your people. Bless all of us. Let healing go forth, God. Answer the prayers, God, that they need, ruling the affairs of men in our government and our churches. Lord, we just lay it on the altar and give it to you. We praise you and honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. The message is entitled today, Spies Among Us. As we just mentioned, of course, the Apostle Paul talks about spies being among the body of Christ, people that are sent and influenced by Satan to spy out the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. And there is a beautiful liberty that we have in Christ, and we have it through the grace of God. So we want to first begin in the book of Galatians, and it's going to be a lot of reading right now, but then we're going to skip over to some scriptures in Galatians for the sake of time so that we can cover all that we need in reading and expounding, doing commentary on the scriptures, each scriptures. But we want you to really understand what the Lord is speaking to us today. Get your Bibles. God is going to deliver people out of a lot of religious ritual routines so that you can understand the light of the glorious gospel, that you can serve the Lord in love. And we want you to be able to really understand what Christ has done for the body of Christ when he came, died on the cross, risen from the dead, resurrected, ascended into the heavens. There is an inheritance of a beautiful life that God has given believers in Christ Jesus. And that is the whole purpose of Paul penning all of the letters that he wrote to the church. And particularly here in the book of Galatians, he's talking about some of the body of Christ that started going back to the bondage of religious routine, the bondage of legalism, of the rules of the churches, of the rules of your pastor, the rules of those that are close to you that tell you things to keep you in the formation, the systematic formation of religion, rather than you having a relationship with God through Christ Jesus for yourself. See, God wants you to understand him through Christ Jesus and have a loving relationship with him in that way. But let's start in these scriptures here because Paul is going to talk very seriously here about some matters. So he says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. This is a very powerful key scripture that we want to really talk about just for a second here because Paul being called by God and not of men is very important. He being called by God, Jesus Christ, and not of men, it speaks volumes to the significance of his election and validation of his call as an apostle, that he didn't get his information from men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ that he made it known to him. That's just like you and I when we read the Bible and we're saved and we love God and we're seeking him. The Bible says, you know, Jesus said, if you seek me and you will find me after you have searched for me with all of your heart. So when we seek God and he knows that our hearts are pure, we want to understand him, then he'll begin to give us the revelation, the understanding of his scriptures. It become alive to us, and that's what we're reading through scriptures now, so that we can be enlightened to the revelation of Jesus Christ and just what he have done in bringing redemption to humanity and giving us grace that sets us free. So he says here again, he's an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. God sent Jesus, of course, to die for us, as many of you know, as John 3:16 tells us. He gave himself for our sins that what? He might deliver us from this present evil world. A lot of evil spirits, powers of darkness. That's why we have a lot of things in the news that's so terrifying and tragedy, because people are evil. There are people that have not submitted themselves to God, given their lives over to God so that their hearts can be renewed. So we live in a present evil world because of the influence of Satan and others. Verse 5 said, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now he begins to correct the church right here. This is the Apostle Paul correcting the church for what he's noticing about them. See, the gospel, and I'm doing a little commentary here, so keep up with me, but keep your fingers on verse 5. He's going to correct them about how they receive the gospel, but yet they kind of, they're veering away from it because there are people that's coming to them to influence them to be back under the law. So Paul is marveling at them in verse 5. He says, to whom be glory forever, forever. Amen. Verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is the whole matter. This is the whole problem that Paul is having with the church of Galatia. You received Jesus Christ by faith, and because of that, now you have received the grace of God, whereas you are not paying for your sins. Christ has already paid for your sins. You are not saved because of your works, things that you think that you do right that qualify you to get into heaven. You are saved by grace. There is nothing any of us could have done to merit our way into heaven or to merit this great salvation that we have. No matter how good you are, all the wonderful things that you do, kudos to you, but that's not going to give you merits into heaven. That's not going to save you. God wants us to bring forth love, and we are the salt of the earth and let our light shine to others, but it does not save us. It does not qualify us to be saved. Grace alone has given us this liberty and freedom in Christ, whereby we have received redemption through his blood from our sins. We have received salvation. There's nothing that you can ever do that will make you qualify for God to save you other than God giving you the grace by faith to believe in Jesus Christ. So he says again, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Because anytime someone preaches anything other than the grace of Jesus Christ, they are taking you to another form of gospel, which cannot save you. Christ has already paid the ultimate price to save you, to forgive you, to give you this new life. And so when people preach another gospel for you to work your way into heaven, for you to do all of these things, to be saved, you are now under another form of a gospel that God is nowhere in. Verse 7 said, which is not another, again, yes, it's not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Yeah, because there were false prophets. It's like today, you have false prophets that read the Bible, they take it and switch it around for their own glory and have people to follow them because they take out things that they don't want to live according to or they don't understand. And then people do it mostly because they want to have a power and a sense of control over others. That is why people really thwart the scriptures and have it to say what it does not say. False prophets, false teachers. They want to have a power and control over people because some people are illiterate, some people are vulnerable, and so you have false prey on people that are weak and don't understand scriptures, don't take the time to study, to show themselves approved, to understand what the word is saying for themselves. He said, again, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or angels from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. It doesn't matter who comes to you to tell you something that is not of this word. Let him be accursed. It can be an angel. Let him be accursed. Don't believe it. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace that God has given you, because people want to put you in condemnation. The reason why we said, entitled the message, Spies Among Us, because we're going to get to that scripture in chapter 2 when we keep reading here. Because there are people that want to understand and know or are spying out your freedom, your liberty, your joy you have, how you always at peace and you know how to overcome. You're not guilty of things. You don't let the enemy bring condemnation on your life. You keep it moving in Christ. So you have people that are influenced by Satan that want to spy out your liberty. They want to know why you are not caught up in the religious routine or following these rules. Why do you flow independently to do the work of the Lord? They want to spy out your liberty, your freedom in Christ. And if others can put you in bondage to have you be a part of their clique, their crowd, their group, to do it this way, to act this way, that's what they want to do and bring you into bondage. But see, Satan is a master of deception and deceiving people that really have no clue or understanding what the word says about our redemption in Christ, our inheritance in Christ. So Paul is marveling at them that they are so soon removed from the grace that is in Jesus Christ. So let's go a little further in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Who are we trying to persuade, men or God? Who are we trying to persuade? We are to please and persuade God in whatever and everything that we do. To God be the glory in everything that we do. Do it unto the glory of God. We don't want to persuade men as far as trying to prove to them that we've been liberated. No, liberty and freedom is in your heart and your spirit because you have a relationship with Christ. And he set you free. The Bible said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. So he says, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't be a servant of Christ trying to please men. And many of us that have grew up in the legalism of church order, the religious church order, you know, it took a while for us to be freed, and God free us once you humble yourself and start studying the word of God for yourself. You realize the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter. And a lot of times, again, as I reiterated again, a lot of people put restraints and rules and orders in you, in the church, in the body of Christ, because they're wanting you to be subject to these audiences that will keep you under their control. That's why when you break forth and break free from the religious routine, there are others that are mad with you. They feel like you're back, you're going astray. It's because, and they're envy, they're jealous because you're not doing it and you're not under bondage as they are. You broke free to realize the truth of the word. There's nothing you can do to merit yourself into heaven. You don't have to follow those religious rules. Now, the law is good in and of itself because God is holy. And we honor God and his law and his word because, again, it's holy. It's him. But Paul is getting down to the truth of the matter here. Paul is going to let you know that nothing you do under the law merits you salvation. So let's look further here. Again, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. He's letting everyone know, you know, he got his revelation from the Lord, and that is so important. Again, key, let God reveal the scriptures to you. He got his revelation from God, not man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, when he was in Arabia for 3 years, taking time, God called him, set him aside, show him the mysteries of the grace of God through Jesus Christ in these scriptures of the New Testament. Show him that God came to save and redeem us, did what we couldn't even do. Show him that Christ died and shed his blood to forgive us of our sins, to take away the guilt of our conscience. Hallelujah. To give us a new life in him. So he says, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Verse 14 says, and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. So Paul is giving his testimony here to let everyone know that he was just like the other people in the Jewish sect, and he persecuted the church beyond measure and wasted it. He didn't know no better. And it profited the Jews and profited in the Jews' religion. He was exceedingly zealous for tradition, just like many of us was, as I say again. I remember the times I was in a lot of tradition, had to repent, judged it, certain people for how they looked, what they wore, what they ate, where they went. If you wasn't a part of our church or this or that, you know, you get into that stuff. But see, God overthrows all of that religious stuff, tradition. Tradition have its place, don't get me wrong. But he overthrows the tradition of men because it's not sincere humility. It's not true from the heart. It's an outward show. Religious tradition is an outward show when God is wanting to change our hearts. So he's given his testimony. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Yeah, God snatched him up to show him the truth, just like he did me. Snatched him up and show him the revelation of Jesus Christ, the truth of the whole Bible, in bringing grace, no more under the law. Moses brought the law. Jesus came by grace and truth. Okay, well, let's get an understanding of this grace. He said, now that I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia again, we said that, and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him 15 days. But others of the apostles, I saw none of them, except for James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Okay, he's giving and letting them know that, you know, of course the Bible tells us many of them was afraid of Paul. You know, they didn't really believe that he was saved, but, you know, he said, I was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea and Cilicia, in Judea, which were in Christ. Verse 23. But they heard only that he was persecuted us in times past, now preach the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorify God in me. Yeah, because now God has given him the understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ in these scriptures to help people to understand the difference between law and grace. That's really why he really transformed Paul. He was exceedingly zealous and knowledgeable in the law. Okay, well, now God's getting ready to make you exceedingly knowledgeable in his grace. Bind together, you will really understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. How the law brought death, but through Jesus Christ, now grace brings us life. God gives more grace for us. Has more grace for us. You know, I can just say grace is that strength, the ability, enabling strength. God tolerates us and helps us and give us the power to overcome. He saved us by grace. Verse 2 says, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run and had run in vain. Well, basically, Paul is saying here that he went privately to those that had reputation, because if you mix, you know, those that had reputation and then laymen together, it can just be just confusion all around. So he didn't want to cause schism and a split in the church, so he went to them privately. And he didn't go to them for them to teach him the way of the scriptures of grace. He went to them to let them know what Christ had revealed to him, the revelation of Jesus Christ and the grace that he brought to the church. So he said here in verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Okay. What Paul is saying here, that he met with these high officials of the church, and according to the Jewish customs and laws, even though they had received Christ and believed, they still was hanging on to the law of the Old Testament for everyone to be circumcised according to the Jewish traditions. But under the grace that God has given, Paul knew that by the revelation of God that they didn't have to be circumcised anymore, because circumcised and uncircumcised didn't mean anything in Christ. It was our faith in Christ to believe Jesus Christ that we now become saved. So it didn't matter whether you were a Jew and you were circumcised or you were a Gentile and you wasn't circumcised. None of that availed anything to Christ anymore, because we're saved by grace. We're on the same level now. We all needed salvation. So they wasn't compelled. Paul put this in here for us to understand that he was strong enough to withstand these leaders in the Jewish synagogue, all of these people that had a status. He was strong enough to withstand them and not let them bring them into bondage. Let's go here to the next scripture, because guess what? Now we're getting ready to get to our key scripture. And that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Spies among us. Spies among us. Religious individuals. And maybe people of the world, because they don't have understanding, so they want to spy out your knowledge of Christ. They want to spy out your liberty and freedom. They wanted to put the apostles and others back into bondage of being circumcised under the law, basically keeping the rules, the regulations, the ceremonial worship types of things of the law that commanded you to do this, that, or the other, or you die, or you be punished, or you be cast out of the camp. That was under the law. Let's read verse 4 again. This is the key scripture. He says here, and that because of false brethren, unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, your freedom, the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. When people are blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, they operate out of a spirit of religion. That's why the Bible says having a form of godliness but denying the power. Grace doesn't have any bondage attached to it. The grace of God doesn't have any systematic religious routine unto it. Because it's just according to the Spirit that we receive this glorious gospel of grace and the Holy Spirit that lead us and convict us and the love of God that constrains us. That's what we obey. We obey God because we love him. There's just no religious restraint. And we move by the power of the Holy Spirit, where we are unctioned by his Spirit and told what to do by the Holy Spirit. It's not because we fear God out of punishment. We don't serve God out of punishment. We reverence God out of love. So that's why we have liberty in Christ. You're not under the restraint of anybody, anything. But we honor and reverence God because he's a holy God. So the, as far as the Ten Commandments, which is the law, that's what we're talking about. All of the Ten Commandments, is they're under the Old Testament law. And we obey them because we love him. We honor God and his laws because we love him. But you're not under condemnation under the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments just shows you the sins that you have, you and I have. It shows us what God does not desire for us to do. It's a command because it breaks his heart. So now when the Ten Commandments are broken by individuals, it doesn't mean that you're going to perish. You're going to die for breaking those Ten Commandments. Because grace has been bountifully applied to your life, whereby now you have a conviction by the Holy Spirit that you don't want to break God's law because you love him. So that is what Paul is saying here. People are coming to privately spy out their liberty, false prophets, false teachers. Verse 5 says, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, he's saying, no, we didn't give them place by subjection. Not for an hour, he said, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul didn't refrain from preaching and teaching the liberty of Christ just because these strong synagogues and Sanhedrin rulers were before him. He didn't do it. He said, not even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue. Yeah, because if he had refrained and got scared or been timid of these religious rulers, he wouldn't have went forth and preached the gospel. You know what? He would have just, God would have probably convicted him anyway to set him back on the right street. But he didn't even do that. He didn't have fear that he's going to place God's people back in bondage and feel like they got to be circumcised because these Sanhedrin people were telling him that. He stood firm. So that's what we have to do, preach the truth to people so that they can understand the liberty, the freedom, have a relationship with Christ. He says here, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour that the truth of the gospel might be continued. Verse 6, but of these whom seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. He said it didn't matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Well, people feel like they have arrived. There were people that feel like they arrived, that they had more knowledge of Paul, that he should listen to them. But he's getting it straight here to say, you know what, whoever they seem to be, someone in conference, they added nothing to him because why? God had already given him the revelation and the liberty that we have through his grace. He just going to let them know. You're not going to intimidate me. You're not going to add nothing to me because Christ has already set me free. He said Christ has already set me free. He's already given me the revelation of the gospel. But he said in verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship, to the apostleship of circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Well, Paul is saying I was called to the Gentiles and Peter was called to the Jews who were of the circumcision. Gentiles being of the uncircumcision, the Jews being of the circumcision under the law. So he's saying that God worked in him just as he worked in Peter because it was the same gospel. But we're going to see that Peter had a little bit of falsity in him. So you can't have pride to be with certain people, let people see you be with certain people here. But then when you are around others, you don't want them to know that you were with these other people. You value certain people more than you value others. That's what Peter was doing. He valued the Jews and their company because they were circumcised under the religious routine to feel like they were right. They had it all together. They were of the elected call of the Jewish lineage. And so when he got around the Gentiles, he didn't company with them while the Jews was around. He made sure that the Jews was nowhere around. Uh-huh. Because Peter knew that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well. He knew that Christ came to save all, not just the Jews. And he knew that the gospel didn't require the Gentiles to be circumcised. He knew that. But yet when he was around the Jews that were circumcised, he was double-minded and double-standard. He had that piousness as the Jews to feel like they were all of that because they were circumcised. But let's look in Scripture and see how what God says about that. Again, verse 9 says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," which is the Gentiles, "and they unto the circumcision." Okay? Basically, these apostolic leaders giving them the right hand of fellowship, you know, because they got the word in them now. They're realizing, okay, you've been really called, so we give you the right hand of fellowship. So you just go and preach to the Gentiles, and we're going to continue to preach to the Jews. Verse 10 says, "Only they said that we should remember the poor, the same which we was going to do anyway." You know, Paul said we had this in our heart to do anyway. Verse 11 said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed." He said, I opposed Peter to the face, because he was to be blamed. Verse 12, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision," which was the Jews. All of these Sanhedrin Jews that were circumcised and felt like they were saved because they were circumcised, of the keeping of the law. That's when we say circumcision is meaning the keeping of the law, the religious routine of thou cannot, should not, you better not. That was the law, circumcision. And they were identified by that. They were identified by that, the customs of the Jewish people. And in the Old Testament, it was the circumcision of the foreskin of the males. So they were still under these physical and Levitical ceremonial rites that they did. So Peter was just being double-faced. So Paul said, I opposed him to his face, because he separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Verse 13 says, "And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, inasmuch that Barnabas also carried away with their dissimulation," basically with their hypocrisy, playing a hypocrite. Barnabas got caught up into that. You with people here of the Gentiles, but then you withdraw yourself when the Sanhedrin Jewish people come around, because you don't want them to know that you affiliate with them, that you mingle with them. That's being a hypocrite. Because the same grace that saved you save others. It's all of us have the same grace. So God don't want you to esteem others on another level than another person, because we all have been saved by grace. So Paul had to get that straight in him. Verse 14 says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of a Gentile and not do as the Jews, why compelleth you the Gentile to live as the Jews? If you're going to act like a Gentile and be over here mingling with them and you do the same thing as them, why are you telling them to live like a Jew? And then vice versa. If you being a Jew, why are you telling the people of the Jews the same gospel of grace? But yet you don't want them to know that you're mingling with the Gentiles." It's like double standard. It's double standard. Because the same grace that saved the Gentiles saved the Jews. And the same grace that saved the Jews saved the Gentiles. There's no different. That's why Christ said it's not a circumcision or uncircumcision, male or female. It's not. See, we serve the Lord by the Spirit, and people just get that twisted. You look at the individual, but you're not looking at the spirit. There's not a bond of free, male or female, Jew nor Gentile. But one spirit do we serve the Lord by, and we save by grace. Okay, so he withstood them and got them straight. He says,
Let's look at verse 15. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you want to put people back under bondage and saying you got to do this under the works of the law, you're not going to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. You got to choose. Either you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ and live by grace, determined that you're already saved, or you're going to live under the law. He says here again, for by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There's another scripture that I want to go to that talks about that real quickly here. We're going to have to continue this message because we run out of time. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 20. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. That's all the law does for us. You're not going to be justified to declare you righteous by doing the law, the ritual, ceremonial things, or making sure that you got to do this religious routine, unless God's not going to be pleased with you, unless you're not going to be blessed, or if you don't pay your tithes, you're going to be cursed. Oh, see, that stuff is under the law. And God said, again, that you're not going to be declared righteous in the sight of God by the works of the law, by keeping that stuff. Rather, it's through the law we become conscious of our sins. So whatever you do, you have to know that it's bearing fruit to bring glory to God, not that it does anything that saves you or God says that he's happy with you because you've done these things. He wants us to bring glory into him, but it's none of those things that save you. You know, God said he's not rewarded us according to our iniquity, but according to our righteousness. Some people feel that if they don't get it together, they don't do it right, they're being condemned. That's under the law if you're under condemnation. Jesus wants you to receive his love and grace, and he helps you through the Holy Spirit. So we go a little further here for the sake of time, and we're going to do a part two. Again, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ made a minister of sinner? No, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So basically Paul is saying, if I start preaching back the law, I make myself a transgressor. Because you're preaching grace, now you want to put people back under the law. That's a transgression. Let's go to Galatians 3 real quickly here. Oh, I have so many scriptures to read. I don't think I'm going to be able to get them all in. I'm not going to rush it because we have to understand this. I'm going to have to come on the broadcast tomorrow because God wants his people to understand. Now, we can look at real quickly here. The third chapter, first verse says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Basically saying there was a reason that Jesus Christ was crucified among you. And we go up to chapter 2, verse 21. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. The reason why Christ died was to give you grace in your life to do what you can't do, in providing the payment for your sins, providing retribution for your sins. He did that. Now you receive this grace that is imputed inside of you by the Holy Spirit. You receive it. You feel it. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lets you know of the grace that you have received in Jesus Christ. So many people in bondage, religious bondage. And there are people that are spying out your liberty. Let them look on. Because by looking on, they can feel the liberty. Because Christ said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. We are not under the bondage of the yoke to fear again. To fear that we're going to die for the penalties of being a sinner, just in general. Christ has already given us this grace. And he's working his effective work in you. So now we want to come back on the broadcast, hopefully tomorrow. Let's look at verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2 of Galatians. It says, this only I learn of you. This only what I learn of you. Paul's asking, I just want to know one thing, Paul is saying. I just want to know one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Do you receive the Spirit of God by doing the works of the law that you thought that because you're doing these things under the law and religious-wise, that's going to save you? Or did you receive the Spirit by faith, just your faith by believing in Jesus? That's what he's saying here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? This is a good scripture here. You begun in the Spirit, but now because people telling you, you got to do this. Oh, you have to do it this way. You need to take off that. You can't wear this. You need to be here. You got to do it this way. You got to be in our group. You got to be a part of this church. Paul would say, are you so foolish to believe all that stuff? You didn't begin by the works of the law for your salvation. You believe in Jesus Christ by faith in God gave you through grace. Now are you saved? By grace are you saved? You didn't receive the Spirit by the works of the law. So verse 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and you now made perfect by the flesh? You think you're going to be made perfect by the flesh, by keeping all of these rules, religious rules? Is that why you think you're perfect? That you is that why you're depressed as a believer? Because you can't be perfect like you want to be so that you can feel and know that you're doing the right thing and now that you're saved? That's not the reason. That you should feel complete in Christ. Christ has already made you complete because he has done it. He has done what you can't do. So now you lovingly serve him. Hallelujah. You lovingly obey him. There are things that you don't want to do anymore because you know that the scripture says all things are lawful but not expedient. It's not going to benefit us anyway. It's not going to bring glory to God. We'll talk about more about that on the next broadcast. He said, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. Yeah, because you got to really make sure that you are really in the truth now, that you really are part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you really are in the faith. So it says, he therefore that ministers to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's all by faith now. It's all by faith. We're going to skip over to chapter 5 real fast. Let me get this scripture in here. Because we're supposed to read all of chapter 5. Well, let's start at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Let's read it again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you follow the rules of the Old Testament under the condemnation of the law, for you paid for your sins, Christ is not going to profit you nothing. If you feel like that you got to follow these religious laws in order to be saved, that's basically what he's saying. Don't let people entangle you in the bondage of, again, the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. If you're going to obey the law of the Old Testament and trying to follow and do all of those rules on your own, then you are a debtor to the whole law. You break one, you break them.